Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 29, The Ultimate Team. I am one of your co-hosts, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my friend and co-host, Chris Slate.
Hello!
And we've got some exciting big news today. We're just coming and recording this on the heels of the final Smash Direct, and you know, on top of that, our big topic later on is going to be the leaked schematics of what could be the NX controller. So let's just dive into it and start talking about Super Smash Brothers for Wii and 3DS.
That's right. You and I both just watched the final video presentation for Smash. It just ended, and we haven't talked at all about our impressions. So I'm excited to hear what you think. So, man, so those last two new characters. I mean, we knew we were getting Cloud, but Corrin from Fire Emblem Fates and Bayonetta of all people. What do you think?
Well, I have to say, I think they kind of made a mistake by doing Cloud first a few weeks ago, because I don't think either of the new characters are nearly as exciting as Cloud. I mean, if you just look at them as characters in the game, as fighters, as having cool new abilities and stuff, then I think that they both are going to be really, really spectacular additions. Corrin's got these dragon transformations that make him or her, you can choose which the gender is going to be, different from the other Fire Emblem characters that we've got. And, Bayonetta, just has all kinds of, crazy, exciting action moves from her game. It looks like they're translating really, really well over to Smash Brothers. It looks like it's totally nuts. But as far as exciting characters go that I was really hoping to see in the game, I don't think that either of them really delivered on that front.
Neither one of those, Corrin or Bayonetta, would put in my personal picks. I'm definitely glad to have them in the game. And, Everybody had their personal picks. And there's a lot of people out there that have been holding out hopes for the return of Snake or for whoever their personal favorite character was to show up. And this was kind of the last chance to get them in this version of Smash. And, I still got to tip my hat to Sakurai, and I think that the characters that he picked look great. My initial reaction to Corrin was, even though I Fire Emblem Fates is one of my most looked forward to games of next year, I haven't played the game yet, so all of these characters that they're showing me, the Corrin, which is your player creator character, I guess, and then all of the supporting characters that were in his reveal video, I didn't know any of them, so of all the reveal videos they've done for the whole game, I feel like this was the one that kind of fell the flattest for me, and it was
nothing. It didn't mean a whole lot to me either.
Yeah, it was only because I haven't played the game yet.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But as Sakurai mentioned, it looks like we'll get a chance to play the game right before the character eventually comes out in February.
Well, they both come out in the same month.
Yeah, and the way he phrased it, it makes it sound like Fire Emblem Fates will actually come out right before the character is released for Smash. He said we'd have a chance to get to know the character before we play them in Smash. So, maybe by the time I do download that character for Smash, it'll mean a lot more to me. Bayonetta was, I'm jumping around, but back to Corrin really quick. I will say my first reaction was, well, I don't know this character, but I do love Fire Emblem, but this is like the fifth Fire Emblem character, I think, which is as many as Mario
sixth
has.
Sixth Fire Emblem character.
Sixth, wow. I think. So it's the most represented series, probably, unless you lump all the Donkey Kong characters in with Mario, I guess. But, and they're all kind of sword wielders, but my initial reaction was, oh, another Fire Emblem sword wielder. But once you start seeing all those dragon transformations, it really does start to seem like this is a very unique character. And something that I saw certainly with Ryu before, and certainly with both Corrin and to the biggest extreme, maybe Bayonetta, is it seems like with these later stage kind of DLC characters, Sakurai really has been creating them, making them more and more unique, more and more complicated in a way. And it seems like the characters that are being released today and going forward into early next year recognize the fact that people have been playing this Smash game for well over a year now. And, people are ready for maybe slightly more advanced characters.
I guess. I mean, I felt that, going into this game from the beginning, they've been adding sort of, new character-specific systems. And this just seems like an extension of that to me. But, like with Rosalina, the way you're controlling basically two characters at once, and the way that that Mac worked differently with his special meter, and all these different nuances, and this just feels like an extension of that to me. But you're right, they might be a little more advanced than some of the earlier characters.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of the other characters have their own nuances. It just seems like these characters have, you know, maybe a few extra. You know, starting with Ryu again, that the fact that you're able to input his commands in the smash way and the traditional Street Fighter way and the kind of nuances and damage and things like that. And the fact that he also, they've added the extra layer of combos with him. And then Bayonetta is a very heavy, combo heavy character.
Yeah, she sure is.
With a lot going on. But, you know, they're really cool. I will say with Bayonetta, it's always a little extra exciting to see a third party character appear because that always seems like a little bit more of a long shot. And when people, you know, dream of like the crazy reveals, it's typically third party characters. So
it is, but I feel like she wasn't one of those third party characters that people have been, you know, hoping for. I mean, apparently I'm wrong. Apparently everybody in Europe is crazy about her.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a quick second. Apparently, and he didn't mention if any of the other characters that we've seen recently or before have been influenced one way or the other by the Smash ballot. But the one character we know that we owe its existence purely to the Smash ballot is Bayonetta, because she was voted number one in the UK and she was in the top five in the US.
Yeah, but the way they're talking about this information from the voting, it doesn't really, play out properly as far as I'm concerned. It sounds kind of bogus. They're like, oh yeah, she was the number one character in characters that we decided to count, because, you know, who knows what they meant by
realizable. He said there was the number one realizable character that they could actually realize in the game.
Exactly. I mean, earlier on, they were like, oh, there are no limits. It can be any character. Go nuts. But in the end, you know, apparently there are a lot of characters that didn't count. And in the end, apparently we're only getting, you know, one single character from this voting, which is kind of disappointing to me. I thought we would have gotten three, maybe four in all.
Yeah, that is a little bit surprising that, you know, they did. It felt like we were voting all year and it resulted in just one character.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I mean, we did get a flurry of characters kind of around that one character. So whether they were voted in by the fans, I mean, Cloud very easily could have been a fan character. They did say it was the number one most requested Final Fantasy character.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your original point, I think I got way ahead of myself. I do agree that Cloud should have been saved for the end, although the simple fact that Cloud is available today and the other
two... Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
by the time anybody hears this, Cloud is going to be totally playable.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to pretend that we've been playing him right now. Oh, man, wasn't Cloud awesome? Yeah, I was up all night playing with him after I downloaded it. Yeah, it took a long time because the servers were going really slow. But, oh, man, that was totally rad.
Those summons are way cool.
And then I hit him with the Omni Slash. Yeah, grab that Materia, yo.
Yeah, we'll just have to go back and edit the first part. But the fact that he is available, you know, today as we're recording this, and that the other two aren't available until February, you know, I guess that's why he ended up being revealed earlier.
I suppose so.
But, you know, it would have maybe taken a little bit away from that that previous Nintendo Direct to not have that announcement, but they could have very easily have held it off and then announced the character and released it both in this Direct.
Yeah, that's usually how they do it. I mean, when they did show that Cloud video last time, a lot of people, I think, were expecting them to say, and he's available right now, because they tend to do that. But anyway, yeah, at least, you know, they gave him to us right after this presentation, which is pretty excellent. And, you know, speaking of Cloud, he's another character that seems to have a really, really unique system. They're really playing up his limit break thing.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you could charge it up yourself with his down B special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and similarly in how you might take a character like Samus and you know, kind of run away for a second and give yourself time to charge up her big shot. You could do the same with Cloud. And at the very least, save it for that higher than normal recovery move that they were showing off.
Yeah, but it powers up all his special moves. You can use it on all of them and get, you know, sort of, you know, to use Street Fighter terminology, like EX versions of all of his moves. And that is pretty cool.
Yeah, and then if he's already got a limit break charged up, then he gets that extra special down B move that, I think they said did 1% damage.
But yeah, but
it has
super
launch
power. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's some scary looking moves with a lot of these characters. That one, and then the ridiculously long reach that I think Corrin has on the Smash attack.
Mm.
And
Finishing Touch, that's the name of that crazy launching move that Cloud has.
Yeah, that's it. So there's just a lot to absorb. It seems like they really packed a lot of interesting things into each character.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, as you were alluding to, the Materia summons when you're playing on that stage. You know, it's got all these, you know, different, monsters that appear that you can summon and do, you know, gnarly things to the level. Ifrit's, sending out fire that tilts the stage. I think it's Odin that cleaves the stage right in half? Yeah. Leviathan flooding it. That's some pretty awesome stuff that's going on there. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that level looks pretty amazing. And it's interesting that it has its own play mechanic with the floating kind of a smash ball like, what was it called, Materia, that
right.
you grab to that's... initiate the change. Yeah.
Yep.
As the series, like we said, with a lot of this later stage DLC stuff, they've really given characters and even stages more of their own unique properties, which has been really interesting to see. One thing, if you're looking at, again, trying to analyze it from different angles, the final few characters, it is interesting that they're all skewing a little bit, they're maybe, for lack of a better term, the kind of the least Nintendo-y characters. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Nintendo kind of, they paid for the development of Bayonetta 2, and you could get Bayonetta 1 on there. So it's not that these characters, don't belong to be associated with Nintendo. But you look at them all, and they're very much all kind of more, humanoid kind of, characters from games that are, more skew a little bit older. Mm-hmm. There's no cutesy kind of, Nintendo type characters in these last batch.
No, there's not. That is kind of weird. Going into this, first of all, just judging by the internet, I assumed that the new character reveals were going to be Goku, Shrek, and John Cena, probably. But, thinking about the gamers, everyone seemed to really strongly think there was going to be the Inklings. I know I certainly thought it was going to be the Inklings. It seemed like a no-brainer to me. 6 months ago, I would be like, no, the costumes for the Inklings are fine. We don't need Inklings. They're a new thing. We don't really know about if they're going to be important characters or not, but they have totally proven themselves since then, far more than, promoting Fire Emblem Fates. And they really, really deserve to have been in there as their own playable characters, and a lot of people were expecting it. Seems like everybody was expecting Banjo-Kazooie as well for some reason, but weird to me and seemed like a long shot.
People on a lot of forums had really whipped themselves up into believing that that pretty much anybody had a strong chance of being mm-hmm. in there. Geno was the craziest one. I mean,
Geno, they said it out loud. We now know it is Geno. Hells yeah. Don't have to worry about how to pronounce that anymore.
So
that
I
was
said,
the biggest thing out of the Smash Direct, perhaps.
I said
Geno with
Geno,
a J sound.
And I meant to say Goku, but I don't know why people thought that was anything close to a lock, but that is the one thing that now that you bring it up, the Inklings, I had really thought that they had the biggest chance of anybody to get on. And
they're cute, Super Nintendo-y, they seem like they would have really unique play mechanics with their, squirting the ink and diving through ink and all that stuff. I think it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a pretty, fanatical following for that game that actively plays it. It was Nintendo's biggest new kind of character IP in years and years. Mm-hmm. It really does
feel
like...
One of the biggest hits on the system this year, and as we talked about last week, it made a big splash, no pun intended, in the Game Awards. So
yeah, and it would have also been very... Those characters would have been very unique with the way that they could have...
I just said that.
Yeah, but specifically the way that they could have spread the ink and jumped into them, to traverse and things like that.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, so... if I think about everything that's in Smash... And it's a ton. That is the one thing that feels a little bit weird by its absence. There's a lot of other classic Nintendo characters I would have loved to have seen get in, but to be honest,
sure.
they were pretty old or obscure. Feel weird that they're not in there.
They really, really should have put the Amazon and or Starman and or Kin Karn Karn from Pro Wrestling in there, because obviously there is nobody who's tougher or a better physical specimen than those characters. And to be honest, there aren't any grappling based characters. They would have been really cool, but I wasn't exactly holding my breath for them to get in.
Well, it's weird now that you mention that. I mean, obviously, at this late stage in the game,
we don't know who won the vote in the U.S. It was probably them.
Probably everybody. We know that we started a campaign, vote for the Amazon. We know that just with our loyal listeners alone, we would have tipped the scales
there. I understand that Amazon.com is very popular these days.
Maybe that's what they thought. They were like, man, everybody wants Amazon to be a character, but that doesn't even make sense. And they just cut it out. But, you know, well, obviously the characters like that that were too obscure weren't going to get in there, because this late in the game, for a game that's been out, you know, well over a year now, right?
A little over a year, about 13 months or so.
Yeah, if you're a lot of people, you know, still play it regularly, but a lot of people played it for a while, then left, and maybe are more keeping a casual eye on it. And to bring those people back and get them to drop more money on the game, you know, these types of characters are going to have to be characters that really bring you back to the table. And obviously, some of those old school characters wouldn't have done that. But with that criteria in mind, I found it a little strange that they went with the characters they did.
I know, me too. I mean, it's not like Bayonetta exactly, you know, tore the world down with its sales.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It seems like, from what we can tell, that the Bayonetta 1 and 2 package, as great as it was and as well received as it was, really didn't, you know, find a very big audience at all.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, you know, say anything about the quality of the game. The game is pretty rad from what I've played.
Absolutely not. But I guess, on the flip side of that, you've got to give Sakurai credit for going with a character that maybe wasn't the most commercial character they could have put out there, because that legitimately was one of the, you know, top voted or reader requested characters that they could actually realize, as they put it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally.
But that just makes Korin a little more questionable to me. And maybe it's because, you know, Fates is a big seller in Japan and they expect it to be big over here, that they think in the long run people will, you know, a lot of people will care about that character. But it doesn't necessarily demand that you, you know, pony up the cash or come back to that game, at least at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus, like you said, you know, there are already a ton of Fire Emblem characters out there. It's very well represented, and there's lots of sword swinging characters as well. Like I said, you know, this one seems fairly unique, but you know, it covers a lot of ground as far as the character selection goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of that ground had already been covered previously, is what I intend to say. As far as, you know, missing characters, you know, another really Nintendo-y one that I thought, you know, had a really good chance might have been Captain Toad.
Yeah, definitely.
Or some version of Toad. You know, the original Toad, he deserves to be in there more than just being, you know, yanked out of Princess Peach's dress for an attack once in a while.
I think Captain Toad would add to some very unique play mechanics, though. Basically having almost no jump, but being kind of a tank. He would have been maybe even a more extreme version of Little Mac, potentially. Mm. And he could have that little move where he swings his backpack around, which you can actually use to do damage in Captain Toad.
Yep.
So, there'd be a lot to fool with there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's another one that I think, you know, could have been really cool. Was there anybody that you were, you know, realistically hoping to see in there?
Well, the Inklings were the big ones. Realistically, I mean, you know, the retro gaming lover in me, you know, would have really loved to have seen Simon Belmont.
Right.
But, you know, to
and
be
screw
honest,
Konami, they're a bunch of.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen Snake back, because, you know, I love Metal Gear and I love Snake. But, you know, Konami, they're just a bunch of jerks these days.
I mean,
after
what they
deserve to be in Smash.
After how they've treated Kojima and Kojima Productions, I wouldn't want to see Snake in a world where Kojima had nothing to do with his inclusion, and the money from licensing Snake was just going to go back to.
I mean, it's still Kojima's character, and so it would be nice to see him, you know, live on sort of in that way. But like you said, it's also Konami, and you know, they can go eat a goat or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess my other character I would have really liked to have seen in there is Professor Layton, as I've mentioned before. You know, Level 5 is a huge supporter of Nintendo. It's, you know, sort of the only remaining big third party that hasn't got a character in there. You know, it's done, you know, certainly as much for Nintendo as, like, you know, Platinum has. And, you know, plus he's got those sword fighting skills. I thought he would have been a really nice addition. And I thought, you know, maybe he could have had a shot. Didn't really expect it, but it would have been cool.
Yeah. And I'm still really surprised that we never saw a Dragon Quest character, because As much as that,
me too.
Yeah, as much as that series has never been, you know, a major blockbuster series here in the U.S., it doesn't get any bigger than Dragon Quest historically in Japan. So it seems like a pretty strange omission, or maybe even at this point a Monster Hunter character. Although I don't play.
You get the costume though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And then you brought this up last time we talked. You know, with how big the Yokai Watch series is in Japan, I could have very easily seen a Yokai character.
Yeah, because originally I'd been holding out hope. Oh, you know, they should do something with level 5. They should do late. And I thought, oh yeah, but Yokai Watch is even bigger. Maybe they'll do that. But I didn't really want to, you know, see that myself. Yeah, you know, it's kind of a new phenomenon. If they had given the nod to level 5 and done that over late, and I would have been shaking my fist and cursing at them. back to Dragon Quest, though, I thought that at the very least it was going to be a costume. And I guess we haven't really talked about the other costumes that are in the game, have we?
No, yeah, let's go down the list. We've got Geno, we've got a Chocobo hat, Takamaru, I believe it was called the Bionic Armor.
Yes, that's right.
I don't think that was from any specific game. Ashley from WarioWare, Gil from Tower of Daruga, I think?
Druaga.
Druaga. I remember the title, but I'm not familiar with it.
I do remember playing it back in the day. I remember the remake a little more. The remake was pretty terrible, as I recall. It's not a game I remember especially fondly, but maybe it was, you know, super huge in Japan or something.
And then Tails and Knuckles were the last two costumes.
That's right. Seeing the Miis running around in those Tails and Knuckles costumes totally reminded me of when we worked with Steve Thomas at Nintendo Power.
It looked like weird cosplay or maybe fan art of kind of slightly disproportioned Sonic characters.
Well, there was that one Sonic game. I think it must have been Sonic Colors, where you could have your Mii dressed up as Sonic, and this feels like the partner to that.
Yeah,
Knuckles and Tails dressed up as Miis. But at least, you know, I like those characters. I think of them fondly, even if the costumes look a bit bizarre, as opposed to Gil from Tower of Druaga, which just makes me feel not so great things.
And then they reminded folks they could go to smashbrothers.com to scan the QR codes that will give you faces to match a lot of those Mii characters.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that they appear to be continuing with that. But, I was expecting them to do more with Square Enix characters when it came to these costumes. We're getting the Chocobo, but I thought, you know, we'd get a Moogle, we'd get a Cactar. Maybe this is how we would get some Dragon Quest characters in there. A Slime.
Hat would have made sense.
Yes, it really, really would have. And I thought that would have been, you know, a good way to get that content in there if it can't be a full character. But no, they were actually, fairly reserved when it came to that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think, who knows? I mean, Sakurai has talked a little bit about kind of the decision-making process behind what goes into the Smash games. And we'll never know exactly maybe what else could have been under consideration. Maybe if there were some things that just couldn't get worked out rights-wise, or if there's some other reasons, you know, he didn't consider other characters or costumes. And, in the whole world of video games, there'll always be kind of what-ifs, and we wish this would have been in there at least. But I also want to I don't want to get too carried away on that because...
Well, there is one thing I would like to address, and that is that, you know, we were seeing, you know, so much... attention in the West, it seemed, with people really, really hoping for Shovel Knight and, to a lesser extent, Shantae.
Right.
But, you know, my feeling on that is they never really even stood a chance because of how they have really no presence over in Japan. Shantae, I think, was just released there as a physical 3DS cartridge. But that might have been the character's first appearance over there, whereas Shovel Knight, I don't believe, has been released at all. They're not even releasing the amiibo over there anytime soon. So, as much as it would have been, you know, cool to see him, I just didn't think there was any way that that those characters would get in being so North American focused.
Right. They're not going to put out DLC characters for a game that's over a year old. You're not going to build these characters. You know, there has to be, the idea that people are going to buy them, obviously. And you're not going to you know, invest all that time and energy into characters that only one territory or maybe, you know, a couple of territories.
I guess, but I don't know. Shovel Knight probably sold more copies than Bayonetta.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I will say, though, that, I mean, you've said this already, too, is Bayonetta, despite the fact that it, here's something you could argue, is that the, and you could argue it for Shovel Knight as well, but we just said that, you know, the Bayonetta series haven't exactly lit the sales, you know, world on fire, but they, the audience is very, very passionate, and maybe that's the kind of audience that, you know, Nintendo would count on to, you know, support DLC like this. You know,
yep, they, perhaps so.
They know they don't have necessarily millions of Bayonetta fans waiting, but the ones that are out there are going to hear about this and definitely download the content.
Well, she's a cool character. I am definitely going to get her when she hits in February.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you got to have them all. I mean, they all look cool.
And hey, we're getting amiibos. We're getting amiibos of Bayonetta and Cloud and of Corrin.
Yeah. I mean, that continues to blow my mind that we're getting Nintendo-made toys of third-party characters, and especially characters that you didn't initially associate with Nintendo, like Cloud, or even, you know, despite the fact that Bayonetta 2 was financed by Nintendo, I still kind of think of it as a PlayStation or Xbox franchise because that's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be awesome, and then we get a no release date confirmed for that, but they did say that March 18th was the date for the Ryu, Roy, and the Famicom Colored Rob amiibos.
Yep, that is correct. That is my mom's birthday, so I know what I'll be getting her.
Oh, you didn't want this? I'll just I'll take it back.
I'll be getting my mother amiibo for her son.
but back to what I was touching on a little bit ago. Despite everything that we wish had been in the game, I jotted down from the video all the total numbers of when they were kind of going down the list of all the content they've ended up with in the game. And it's ridiculous.
I feel like that was Sakurai's way of saying, look, maybe your character didn't get in, but shut the hell up. Look at all this stuff I put in there. There's a lot.
58 total characters.
Does that count the three Miis separately or together?
You know, I'm not sure, but I mean, I think it's fair to count them separately. They all have distinct movesets and distinct looks. 84 total stages across both platforms. For costumes, he said 99 pieces plus 97 hats. But I'm not sure if that really means there's 200 total costume pieces or if the 90... No, I guess that... Well, that's what they said. 99 pieces plus 97 hats.
Mm-hmm.
743 trophies for the Wii U version and 707 for the 3DS. And 507 total music tracks. This really is a dream game, and we have to take a minute to kind of appreciate it. And we may never see anything else like this. I mean, Sakurai could very well be done with this game. He's said as much. You know, it's really up in the air whether he comes back and does another one. And if he doesn't do it, you know, is Nintendo going to go forward with the series with someone else? And can someone else even, you know, make a Smash game?
I'm confident that someone else could.
I'm confident someone else will try, and you know, maybe it will be just as good, but it's I think undoubtedly going to be different because Sakurai pours so much of himself into every little aspect of this game. He's you know, even to the point where he's the game's primary playtester. So you know, I don't know what a Sakurai-less Smash would look like, but even if, let's say, they give it another go on the NX with or without him, I mean, are we ever going to get up to almost 60 characters again? I mean, you know, this is, it's just an incredible achievement that they've gone this far. Still developing the game for a full year after it's been released.
Well, it's not just any game, man. It's Smash Brothers.
That's true. I'll be honest with you. I'd be happy if they just continued this on to the NX and continued to release characters for it. Maybe, you know, put some other feature upgrades in there too, call it a 2.0 or something, and you know, just Dream Battle never ends.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like this is something that Smash Brothers can get away with that other series really wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind one bit.
I'll tell you what else I love seeing in that video is all that cool new character artwork. And it really made me wish that Club Nintendo was around right now so I could maybe get posters of that stuff. The Bayonetta one, I was taking a closer look at them at smashbrothers.com, and the Bayonetta image even puts the other two to shame. You know, and they look fine. It was awesome to see Nomura draw Link, for example.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite one. I like Nomura a lot better when he's drawing than when he's designing games.
Yeah. But for me, I mean, Bayonetta was by far the winner. I just
Bayonetta is really, it's a really, really gorgeous piece.
I mean, there's so much detail in it, and also the energy right in the middle. It's just so well balanced.
And the way that the Animal Crossing villager is staring right at Bayonetta's butt.
Well, that was something interesting that that when Bayonetta first popped onto the scene, I was like, whoa, how does Nintendo do this? Because obviously, anyone who's played the Bayonetta games know that, you know, those games are rated mature pretty much just for the way that Bayonetta moves.
Yep, they are pretty sexy and violent.
But they managed to have her stay true to the character without having, you know, stopping short of having the gratuitous butt and boob and crotch shots, I guess, that have, you know, given the Bayonetta series its M ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they did a really good job capturing that. And, yeah, I'm staring at this this picture right now. I like this art at the bottom of Little Mac and Ryu simultaneously punching each other in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, that artist, you could tell, had really played the game because they found all the little connections, whether it be visual or gameplay-wise, where they connect certain characters. I like how on one side they have kind of Samus, on the other side they have Lucina with her mask on, you know, two masked female characters. There's a nice kind of thought behind the balance and who he included and where he put them. Yeah, Bayonetta is not even my favorite character, but if I could have just one of those as a poster, that would definitely be the one. But you know, is there anything else we need to touch on with Smash? Or, you know, I was going to ask you, you know, now that Sakurai's finally done with this game, or will be in February at long last, what do we want to see him do next?
Huh. Well, I mean, the dude should be able to do whatever he wants. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, I hope
well,
he's gotten some
I mean,
time
the NX,
off.
The NX, you know, could really use his help with another Smash Brothers, I think.
Do you think he'd even be mentally and physically able to just go right from Smash Brothers to Smash Brothers? Seems
he
like
should probably take a little break first.
Yeah.
You know, if he was able to do something a little smaller scale, I am fine with that. But you know, Smash Brothers is too important to just be left lying, and you know. If the new system comes out a year from now, you know, it probably takes a couple years to develop a game like that, and you know, they should be thinking about it. I hope he does come back after a nice lengthy vacation and starts working on a new one. But if he wants to revive another Nintendo franchise instead, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I mean, I really love Kid Icarus Uprising, and I know that's can be a bit of a divisive game, but I'm definitely in the camp that that loves it. And I wouldn't necessarily want to see another Kid Icarus game, but I would love to see him tackle another classic franchise just like he did with that, and kind of bring it back. You know, I'm not sure exactly what he would do. I was kind of thinking, well, maybe Star Tropics, although that for some reason doesn't seem like the perfect fit for him. But you know, I was also thinking, kind of along the lines of Smash Brothers, you know, you and I have talked on this podcast before about how we would really like to see a game that finally kind of unifies all the amiibo in a way that Nintendo hasn't done yet. You know, their Skylanders or their Disney Infinity. And maybe he's the guy to helm something like that, you know, something that, you know.
That'd be great.
A crossover title in a way like a Smash Brothers, yet something new and different, an action-adventure title. So that'd be great. But practically speaking, you do make a good point that if we want to see a new Smash Brothers in the next 2 to 3 years, you know, he or somebody's going to have to start on it pretty darn soon.
Mm-hmm. I guess there is, you know, one more thing I'd like to say about this Direct. And that is, I hope that we do eventually get to see the real results of the Smash voting. I mean, they're going to be a little messed up anyway, because people could, you know, vote as many times as they wanted, which makes it a really unfair vote. But I am curious to see what it would be. You know, as they mentioned, you know, Bayonetta was high on the U.S. and European list, but apparently, you know, didn't do so well on the Japanese list. So who did they vote for, you know, other than Goku, Shrek, and John Cena? You know, where did Ridley end up falling? Did Geno do very well? Is that why he got the costume? You know, there are all kinds of questions I would like to know answers to. And I hope that does come to light one of these days, one way or another.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see the results just for the, well, just for curiosity's sake. But like you said, ultimately they were somewhat meaningless in that because you could vote multiple times, it's not a real indication of anything other than somebody somewhere liked this character enough to you know, either vote a bunch of times or, you know, enough people voted once or twice. I don't know. But and I also don't want to think, you know, there seem to be a lot of conspiracy theorists out there where, you know, Sakurai didn't do this character because he has, you know, a grudge or something. Or, you know, it does seem like you just look at the game and it's obvious that his number one goal has always been to just delight the fans. So I can't imagine there's anything too nefarious behind, you know, that we would find on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'd be fun to look at. And as we know, there were all sorts of considerations that had to be taken into account when coming up with these characters. So, you know, I don't think anyone would be, you know, too upset about what we find out.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of talk about Smash Brothers. We've got our big topic coming up, but before we do that, there's a couple other little news items that I wanted to touch on. First of all, a couple minutes ago, you made mention of how you'd like to see a amiibo-based game that is really all-encompassing and makes you use all your amiibo. And there was a rumor floating around that NST, Nintendo Software Technologies, could be working on such a game.
Yeah, I saw that. And this is the team, for people that don't know, that I guess are most famous for working on the Mario versus Donkey Kong titles, the March of the Minis titles most recently. And back in the day they did a Wave Race Blue Storm for GameCube. And I believe they also did Pokemon Puzzle League, if I'm not mistaken. And I think they've also had some behind-the-scenes maybe help on some of the channels that have appeared on Wii and Wii U.
They might have done some stuff creation, with... like yeah, with the Miis. Mm-hmm. And also, so they're no stranger to, content like that.
Yeah. They also famously were working on Project Hammer for Wii, which was one of the most well-known canceled games that never made it out. There was also, along with that, supposedly they may be looking to move over or transition into mobile game development. So interesting things going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I certainly want to see a big amiibo game like that, and if they're the ones to do it, you know, so be it.
Yeah. The rumor stated that it wasn't quite clear internally even which way they were going to go next, so I guess, depending on what you'd like to see them work on, you can kind of root for your own direction there.
The other bit of news is, something that maybe people have discovered already. There was some new DLC for Mario Maker that came to light just a few days ago. It was kind of weird.
More Mercedes-Benz, you know, crossing over from Mario Kart 8. You can get a little costume where Mario is driving the GLX.
Yeah, more sponsored content. It's kind of weird. I mean, you know, it's only one out of like 100 and 10 costumes for the game, but it's weird having a real world car in there with Star Fox and Shulk and Mario and Bowser and all this other goofy fun Nintendo stuff that's in Mario Maker. Here it is.
I've decided I'm not a fan. I mean, when it first appeared on Mario Kart 8, we hadn't seen DLC yet. In fact, they hadn't announced any DLC except that promotional DLC. So the fact that it was a blatant advertisement put into my Mario Kart was somewhat tempered by the fact that it seemed to suggest we were going to get more DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
That was back in an era still where we, it wasn't a given that we were going to get DLC for big games like that. And of course, since then, Nintendo's gone, somewhat DLC crazy. We already knew we were getting DLC from Mario Kart. We've been getting DLC. Super Mario Maker. And so for this to show up was just more of like a, yep, that wasn't a one-time only thing. We're going to put strange promotional ad things right into the middle of your Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. And, I'm more concerned about what that could lead to down the road. And, taken on its own again, it's just like with Mario Kart 8. It's a one-off little thing.
Yeah, by itself, it's not too egregious.
You don't even have to unlock it. And if you do, it's kind of cute. Mario's in a little car.
Yeah, I like it when you hit up and how he gets out of the car.
Yeah, that is kind of neat. But it's just that in a world where I'd be more used to seeing that stuff on, PlayStation or Xbox, I feel like Nintendo is still kind of the last true kind of traditional, creative force in gaming. I mean, maybe that's overstating a little bit, but when I think about, the heart of Nintendo being something akin to Miyamoto coming up with these brilliant ideas out of thin air and executing them because they put smiles on people's faces, that really clashes with the kind of more cold business reality of, hey, Mercedes-Benz was going to give us some cash, so please check this ad out.
Well, any way you look at it, it's out there. It's a free mystery mushroom costume for you to grab. So, either go for it or don't. That's all I really wanted to cover in news. So let's take an intermission. And when we come back, we'll talk about this potential new controller for the NX. All right, we are back, and we are talking about our big topic, or maybe our second big topic for the week, because Smash Brothers was a pretty big topic. But our other big topic is about this potential new controller for the NX. And what happened is that Nintendo filed a patent several months ago, and then a bunch of images, information about it just became public a few days ago, and we have gotten to take a look at this along with everyone else on the internet, and it looks like there could be some pretty crazy stuff in store if indeed this is the way Nintendo goes with the NX. I suppose we'd start out by saying Nintendo makes lots of patents. It doesn't mean necessarily this is the way that NX is going to go, but it's something they're looking at, and the potential is there.
Well, I'm about to start describing some things that we saw in these patent illustrations that Nintendo filed. And if you want to see them yourselves, just Google them. They're probably all over the place. I know for sure there's a thread at NeoGAF. And what's interesting about them, another disclaimer I should say, is that these patent illustrations very rarely end up looking, and they never end up looking exactly like the illustrations when the final product comes out. These are just kind of very rough, just to get the idea across so that, they're staking a claim to these ideas.
Screw the disclaimer. Get to the information, man. You're killing me here.
So what it is, and this keys back to a story that came out maybe almost a year ago, where it was reported that Nintendo was looking to be the first company to incorporate in its products this new type of LCD screen that Sharp learned how to produce. And what this is an LCD screen that can take any shape. So the example that was shown at the time is, you could have an LCD screen built into the dashboard of a car that is custom shaped so that it curves around volume knobs and things like that. And so it resurfaced in these patent illustrations, which again gave further weight to the fact that Nintendo was actively doing something with this. And what we see in these illustrations is a controller, typical kind of two-pronged, almost like a PlayStation style controller.
With the grips on the sides.
With the grips. And it has L and R shoulder buttons, and it has not buttons on the face, what seemed to be two analog sticks, one on the left, one on the right, and kind of
that's pretty normal.
Symmetrical formation. But presumably, you would also be able to click in on these sticks because the accompanying text for these illustrations talks about pressing them in like buttons and using them like sticks. So my guess is, and I don't think I haven't read every little bit of legalese because it's tough to kind of wade through and understand some of it, but it seems like it would be more along the lines of the circle pad on the 3DS, that would, not a tall analog stick, but something that, is flat like a button, but also can be used to move a character or a camera. So then the whole face of it, and what they've got here in the illustration, is a big oval, is kind of the face of the controller. And the whole face of it would be a LCD screen that bleeds right to the edge. And the actual sticks are set in the middle of it. So if you can imagine, the screen has little holes for the sticks to come through. So, the image is actually going around the sticks and even under your thumbs when you're gripping the controller.
That could be cool. Now, is the screen a touch screen?
You know, it. I don't remember reading anything about it being a touchscreen. I'm looking through the. I'm scrolling through the pictures now. What this very much seems to be, and it's not to be confused with the gamepad for the Wii U. It doesn't seem to be that they're going for that same kind of thing. What this really seems to be is about customizing the controller and adding little visual flourishes also to make the actions that you perform in a game more feel more immersive. So, for example, you do see in the illustrations they've drawn, you know, a little stick figure walking down the road. You can imagine it as Mario walking, you know, through the Mushroom Kingdom. And so he is, in this example, controlling the game, presumably by looking at least partially at the screen on the controller. But where it gets really interesting is where they will put custom kind of commands around a button. So, for example, you know, or rather when I say button, I mean that kind of clickable C-stick or control pad, circle pad. Blah, I'm getting all my terms mixed up.
Just call it the right stick, man.
Sure, okay, the right stick. The clickable right stick might have, for example, around it, you know, contextual actions. So maybe, you know, it's jump, and maybe it will even say jump right next to that stick. But if that changes, then maybe it would say, you know, open door or something like that. Also, there's some illustrations showing you fighting a dragon, and the dragon has blown fire at you, and now there's fire surrounding those buttons as if or the sticks, as if the sticks themselves have been set on fire. There's also an image where you're holding a character's holding a gun in a first person style, and because the gun is kind of right overlapping with the stick, something that's noted in the accompanying kind of you know, notes for this image from Nintendo is they feel it will be more immersive, that you feel like the command that you're inputting with the stick is kind of right there with the hand holding the gun that you're activating.
That's so kind of weird, really.
Matching those things together. So, yeah, in short, it's kind of it's easy to believe also because it's one of those ideas from Nintendo that's so different. You can't help but be excited about it, but at the same time be a little bit scared of it. Because, again, there's no reason they can't, you know, this is just, again, the illustration. There's no reason they can't put four face buttons on there along with that stick. But Nintendo's just crazy enough not to do that. Another example, they show that next to the left stick, you've got a little image of a sword or a bow and arrow or a shield. Maybe if this was a touchscreen, you would touch one of those icons to assign it to the stick. You know, they also have another one where you've got a question mark kind of icon right in the top center of the screen that's labeled help mode. Presumably at any time you would touch that and get some extra information, which is, again, something Nintendo always seems to be focusing on is helping out novice players. And maybe this is a way where, you know, imagine a Zelda game where you're not kind of necessarily being told every little, you know, how to do every little basic thing that you've always done in a million Zelda games. If the tutorials are basically offloaded to that little button, and they're just there if you need them, if you're a novice and you don't understand something, but Nintendo doesn't feel the need to just, you know, show them to everyone, even the experts.
Maybe just a quicker way of, you know, accessing, you know, that type of, you know, information that would be in a manual, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's another example too where, you know, it shows a screen where you're inputting text, you know, and you've got the currently selected, letter or number in the center of the controller screen, and on the left stick it almost looks like a combination lock. You're scrolling the stick around to point toward, you know, a different letter that's you know, shown on the screen, and on the right side, you know, it's a similar thing where you've got other characters that you can use with the right stick. So you're almost dialing in, you know, a password or a name into a game or something like that. You know, again, using the way that the LCD screen that's under the control sticks have changed the functionality of those sticks.
Interesting. That sounds, you know, some stuff there sounds really promising. I mean, I, you know, wouldn't have any complaints about having a controller that has just, you know, a full screen on it to, you know, show you any sort of, you know, information that you'd need. But, you know, if it's not a touch screen and not having any buttons, only having two sticks, that sounds like a recipe for disaster that for any game that's, you know, not Smash TV.
Well, one thing that Nintendo's always done in the past, and sometimes to its detriment, is we've seen that they've designed controllers specifically around their own key titles.
You know, yeah, I mean, whenever, you know, like the launch titles come out or there's a new Mario game, it's like, wow, this controller works brilliantly for, you know, this Mario game. But then, you know, it doesn't necessarily work great for everything else.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I think is actually evidence of the fact that we will get more buttons on the final product, because...
Yeah, I certainly hope so, because otherwise there's no way you'd be able to get any third-party support from, like, multi-platform titles.
Well, you'd be asking those guys to really rethink their control inputs, and, you know, we've seen in the past, we've seen with the game, the Wii U gamepad, how lazy they can be when porting over software. But more significant in thinking about this is the fact that you can't play Mario with this controller unless it's a radically different Mario, because let's think about, you know, there have been different types of Mario, but even whether you're considering, you know, polygonal Mario, 2D Mario, any version, you've always been able to run and jump. And if you're running with the left stick, let's say. You'd be moving with the left stick. You'd have to hold a button to run and then press another button to jump. The only way to do that would be to run with the left stick, click down on the right stick to run maybe, and then hit like the R button on the shoulder for a jump or something like that.
I guess. I mean, 3D Mario, you know, a lot of times doesn't have a run button. That's, you know, it's got these analog sticks and you don't necessarily need to run. But if there was going to be like a new Super Mario Brothers game or something like that, that would not work very well, would it?
Yeah. Well, you know, then you'd need a button for fireballs or something like
right.
that.
Right.
I mean, you run out of buttons really quickly thinking about all the things you can do with, or rather you add up the buttons very quickly thinking of all these things you can typically do in a Mario game. But, you know, that's...
I mean, it might work pretty well for something like Zelda, where, you know, pushing different directions on the stick would activate different weapons. I mean, that might be even, you know, more effective than, you know, the current design, which is just assigning a limited number of items to your buttons. But, you know, I guess you would, you know, click down for the sword and, you know, push in the directions to assign weapons or something. I don't know. Without more buttons, it would, I think, be a pretty hard sell.
Yeah. One thing that I'm wondering about is if you look at these illustrations, it does show, it looks like the game action is taking place on this controller. Like, I think the idea of, you know, customizing your controller for every single game by how you, you know, what you show on that screen and how you design, you know, that custom interface could be an exciting thing. But if you're just...
Yeah, it's way better than, you know, slapping stickers on it like we had to do back in the old days, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But if you're playing on
custom virtual Nintendo Power Skin, you heard it here first.
That would be awesome. But if you play, if you're playing the controller and you're actually looking at the controller for the game, then I start to wonder about how that really works. And you know, and also it isn't stated whether this is, even though it takes the form of a console controller, is this something that could turn into a handheld, or is this, you know, is this a part of some bigger kind of a, you know, revolutionary feature on the NX console? And, you know, how does this affect the long kind of believed rumor that this was going to be a crossover device where you have, you know, the NX platform is somehow both a handheld and a console? It just raises all these new questions.
Yeah, we've been assuming that for a long time, since there is no obvious successor to 3DS other than the NX. But, you know, it could be that, you know, the big revolutionary feature is not, connectivity between a handheld and a, you know, home console, but it could be this wacky controller interface.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just don't know at this point. It's also,
we do not know.
It's also, you know, interesting that, to think that this controller, and I don't think I said this before, but it's not gamepad sized, even though it has a full bleed screen on the face of it. It is, it's the size of a regular, you know, console game controller. And theoretically, then, you know, you'd be able to buy multiple controllers. Mm-hmm. It'd probably still be a bit pricey compared to like a PS4 controller with the screen and everything, but not as daunting as if you wanted to, you know, buy two gamepads or something. So, you know, you could finally have games where, you know, everyone has their own private screen, you know, which would, you know.
Return of the VMU, baby.
Yeah. Or if you're, you know, choosing plays in football, you know, assuming the NX gets a football game, you know, keep that stuff hidden. So I'm sure that opens up a lot of different play possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's one good thing about it. But yeah, it kind of scares me overall. I mean, even if it were a touchpad, you know, we've learned that, you know, virtual buttons are rarely a good substitute for, you know, for the real thing. You know, things like, you know, Ocarina of Time 3D, you know, having a couple virtual buttons, you know, being sort of the exception to that rule. And, you know, I also worry about, you know, your hands getting in the way of, you know, what's going on down there if you're really supposed to be paying attention to that thing.
Well, I'm sure that game developers would kind of take that into consideration and not have, they'd probably try to keep the action really centered in the middle where your hands aren't. But
but I just think that limits, you know, what you could really do with it.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, if this is going to work, I see it as a console controller where it just supplements the action you're seeing on the TV. But the more I think of it as a standalone device, then all these kind of challenges really do seem.
Yeah, I guess that's where that thought was really coming from, was if it were to just be a standalone controller or standalone device, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and Nintendo is people from Nintendo all the time you see in interviews, and especially when defending against, you know, people saying that they should just go full mobile or whatever, talk about the virtues of having physical buttons. So, you know, it's hard to imagine them going too far down the virtual button, you know, route on the LCD screen. So I do expect there to be a lot more face buttons than we see in this illustration.
Well, but if they do go that way, then, you know, I'd pretty much be all for it.
Yeah. At the very least, what we do see in the illustration is two shoulder buttons and two clickable sticks. But what do you think about the sticks specifically? Like, presuming that they are like, you know, the circle, you know, pads on the 3DS, would you want that on a console controller? Because originally the gamepad came with those types of inputs, but replaced them with more traditional analog sticks late in development.
I probably wouldn't have any problem with it. I do tend to like the circle pads.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem with it on my 3DS.
Yeah, as long as it's not the stinking right nub that's on the new 3DS XL. That thing's a little hard to use, a bit clunky. If there were two of the circle pads and you're able to, you know, press them down as well, I think that would probably work just fine. That alone, again, not enough for most games, but you know, just for what it is, yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. The bottom line for these illustrations for me is they've got me really excited about how crazy Nintendo might get. And more often than not, I mean, of course, they've made, you know, everyone, including ourselves, has documented when they've made some missteps. But more often than not, their crazy ideas have led to some cool stuff. And I remember when I first saw the Wii Remote, my first thought was, well, how am I going to play any kind of traditional game with that? And that was the fear that they'd gone so far in the let's make a game controller into a TV remote kind of direction. That
is kind of what this reminds me of, to be honest.
Yeah. But then, you know, it's something that's comforting in thinking about, you know, this new possibility is, of course, we're playing Super Mario Galaxy, you know, with that Wii remote. Yeah, they added the nunchuck. They didn't forget, you know, how to make core games just because they were trying something really different. So,
yeah, they did create other options if, you know, a game really needed it. Yeah. They didn't always, you know, give that option to you in every game, but they at least, you know, provide a classic controller out there for more traditional experiences.
And they could, you know, very well do something really outlandish like this controller and then basically put out their equivalent of another classic controller or a DualShock, you know, to play all the third-party stuff. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you make that option available, then, you know, third parties really aren't going to try, probably most, you know, you're not going to get an Assassin's Creed probably that really takes full advantage of the fancy new controller. But if it means we get an Assassin's Creed at all, then maybe that's still the smart way to go.
Yeah, if we get one and it's just as good as what's on the other consoles, I think that's probably the more important thing these days.
Yeah, but nothing could be more disappointing to me than if Nintendo just showed up with, you know, a slightly more powerful PlayStation 4. You know, I definitely want to see them, you know, let their freak flag fly and you know, go all crazy Nintendo in the best way possible.
Yeah, this certainly indicates they are trying to think of a lot of creative things to do with their next system.
Yeah.
Not that I had any doubt of that.
Yeah, I guess it's just fun to see something a little more tangible than just thinking about, you know, the name NX over and over again in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. All right, then. I think that is a show this week. But before we go, it is time for another dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of an NES game that recently came to Virtual Console, Stinger. Save the Earth from an alien snack attack. Man your battle stations. Dreaded alien bandits from the planet Attack-On have kidnapped Professor Einstein J. Cinnamon, super genius. The Attack-Ons are scheming to zap the professor's brain, retrieving his secret bionuclear sweetener formula. A formula these evildoers will use to transform Earth into an intergalactic ball of cotton candy. A favorite munchie for Attack-On sweet tooths. To save the world from this sticky fate, you'll soar into action in your highly advanced Stinger jet fighter with its awesome array of wacky weapons. But beware, from the beginning you'll be locked in dog-eat-dog-dog fights, battling tooth and nail against Attack-On defenses from the South Seas to the Arctic Circle. Then prepare for the ultimate challenge, the Attack-On fortress on the edge of space, where the professor is held hostage, and where Earth's survival rests on your shoulders.
Cotton candy, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic.
That is probably the most unique post-apocalyptic vision I've ever seen.
Well, that was from Konami back when they were good.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. Hoff also has a really sweet blog called Still Playing with Power, and you should check it out at christhehoff.tumblr.com. And you can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and you can look us up on YouTube. And hey, if you like the podcast, we always really appreciate it if you can drop by iTunes and let us know.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And a character who did not get a costume in Smash Brothers, Big the Cat.
Froggy!
We will see you next time.